The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Hi, I'm former Buffalo Bills wide receiver Don Beebe, and you're listening to Nate and the Fellas on Circling the Wagons podcast on the Buffalo Rumblings podcast network. Because nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Go Bills.
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times. Here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. I am your host, Nate. Thank you so much for joining us. We have a great off-season episode for you guys. We are talking the Stephon Diggs extension. We are talking about Jordan Poyer potentially wanting a new deal. We're talking about the idea of moving up or moving back in the draft, what Brandon Bean might or might not want to do in regards to that, maybe try to do a little prediction of what he will do given the circumstances of how free agency went and the current roster makeup. If we have time, we'll talk about a Josh Allen card that just sold for $312,000, which is always fun, fun topic to discuss. And but before I get into that, I'd like to welcome in my co-hosts, as always, John and Mike. John, I'll start with you. Another big week. As soon as we finish recording, man, the big news comes out. How are you doing?
Doing great. I mean, it feels like the Diggs thing was 3 weeks ago already, but it was within the last week. Yeah, it's awesome. I love it. Apparently, like after all the other wide receiver big dealings, it's nice to see the Bills take care of one of their own and pair Diggs up with Allen for the next several years. Love it.
Yeah, definitely. You know, what's funny is we talked about the Tyreek Hill trade last week, and we were like, are they even going to be able to swing it? Like, is this going to, and it happened. It's going to be a fun episode to talk about that, the Diggs extension. Mike, also good to talk to you. How are you doing, man?
Doing great, Nate. What a week. Diggs, the stadium, I think we're burying the lead a little bit, just how we've come a long way in terms of the uncertainty, right? Was it before Pagula, we thought we might lose the team, and now we've got a 30-year guarantee. So it's a very exciting time.
Yeah, it's crazy how things have gone. Do you guys remember that time period? Before we get into the actual episode, do you guys remember that time of uncertainty? Like, now that you mention it, Mike, it was before the Pagulas bought the team. We didn't know if the Bills were staying in Buffalo. And it was always kind of one of those things where Jim Kelly had mentioned that he had a group put together that he was going to buy the team and keep it in Buffalo at one point. And so you're like, okay, well, we always have that ace in our back pocket. And then Ralph Wilson died, and then Jim Kelly was dealing with cancer. You're like, well, you can't expect the guy to worry about buying a team while he's, you know, fighting for his life. And we're just like, you felt guilty even thinking about, man, it would be nice if Jim Kelly wasn't. And then you were like, well, the guy's got to do it. There was so much uncertainty, and then the Pagulas came in, saved the team. But sometimes we have to remind ourselves of that, like when we think of being critical of the Pegulas for whatever reason, you know, they obviously, you know, it's a great business decision for them to have bought the team, but man, how far we've come for sure. For sure. All right. So first things first, last time we talked, as I alluded to, we mentioned, hey, is there going to be a Stephon Diggs extension? Can they afford it? How would they do that? And the Monday morning, or the Monday afternoon, rather, after we recorded, Doug Whaley, former Bills GM Doug Whaley, was on Sirius XM on the NFL channel, and he stated that he believed Stephon Diggs could be dealt due to the fact that the Bills can't afford to give him the type of pay raise that the wide receiver market now commands for a player of his stature. So obviously, whenever Doug Whaley's in the news, like for the Buffalo Bills, he's just like, what? Like, why is, I don't remember, and I don't know if this is just because Doug Whaley makes himself more available to the press than other previous Bills GMs, but I don't remember any other Bills GM talking about the team afterwards as much as Doug Whaley does. I feel like he's constantly talking about the Buffalo Bills. And John, so after this text came out, it's funny, in the group chat you texted this to us, you texted that this was going to happen. And then do you remember what you said right after you sent that text on Monday afternoon?
Yeah, it was kind of funny. I sent you guys the screenshot of what Whaley had said. I was like, oh, well, I guess this means that at some point the Bills are going to re-sign Diggs at some point. And then like a day and a half later, Diggs was re-signed.
It is amazing how many things like collectively we've actually stumbled into getting right on this podcast. Mike said the Von Miller signing, he got that right. John got the Stephon Diggs extension right. It's unbelievable. That was such a good call. It's funny. You were doing it really just to like spite Doug Whaley. You're like, well, Doug Whaley's obviously going to be wrong. If you had said that Doug Whaley or Stephon Diggs was definitely going to be extended, you'd be like, there's a possibility we trade him.
To win in this business, it's about two things. It's about players and winning.
And sure enough, within a day of that news coming out, Stephon Diggs got the extension, which was brought up on the Buffalo or Breaking Buffalo Rumblings podcast and every other podcast in our network. They all did a great job covering it. The Bills reached an agreement with Stephon Diggs for a 4-year extension, which was $104 million, includes $70 million in guaranteed. So it essentially keeps Diggs in for the next six seasons in Buffalo, lines him right up with Josh Allen's extension. Andrew Brandt wrote on Twitter, he said the Bills now have Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs locked up through 2028. No matter the price, without full future guarantees, these are wins for the Buffalo Bills. The team now has contract control for 7 years with a rising cap and non-guaranteed out years, which is great for the Buffalo Bills. There's also this other cool tweet from Ted Wynn. He wrote, the Bills decide to extend their number one wide receiver to pair with their demigod quarterback, and KC decides to go with cap space to help team elsewhere and to put more on the shoulders of their demigod quarterback. Not taking sides, but it'll be interesting to see how both approaches end up. So some really cool things right there. I mean, first off, I think we're all in agreement. Like, we all love this extension. It's great. If there was an important person on this team besides Josh Allen, I'd say it's a tie between Tre'Davious White and Stephon Diggs. And Tre'Davious White, only because it's on the defense, because I think he's one of the most important people on that defense, if not the most important. And Stephon Diggs, I mean, I love the deal. I'm glad that they're putting it together. Josh has always been on social media, like when ESPN was saying, wouldn't it be cool if, you know, Trevon Diggs and his brother Stephon Diggs were in Dallas together. Would that be cool? And Josh Allen just replied, no. Like, you know, just he's always very vocal about his thoughts on Stephon Diggs. John, your background for our episode this week is Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen of the Sports Illustrated Kids edition. Like, there's a friendship there. There's a bond there that formed that's very rare, I feel like, between two very talented people. And it's just, I was as I'm sure most of Bills Mafia is, we're over the moon ecstatic that the Bills were able, that Brandon Bean was somehow able to pull this off with what he's done. So, John, I'll leave it. I'll start off with you. Everything I just said, agree, I'm sure, with most of it. How happy were you with the news that the Bills extended Diggs?
You know, it's funny. You mentioned the tweet in regards to the Diggs brothers, and everybody under the sun was thinking, oh, Stephon Diggs is going to Dallas. Maybe it's going to be the other way around, right?
Mm. Ooh.
I mean, Dallas has its own problems, right? You know, maybe the Bills get Diggs, and they need a corner. That's one of their top two needs, right?
They do need a corner. Ooh, wow. Is this the next thing that you're predicting? You already predicted the Stephon Diggs extension. Is this the next thing?
Sure. Let's do it.
Okay, sure. Let's do it.
Might be 5 years from now.
But do you think, like, I mentioned you having that background as your Skype background for this episode. I mean, but it's rare, right? Like, how many wide receivers get traded or sign new deals and they're not the same guy that they once were? Like, I mean, Josh Allen elevated the play of Stephon Diggs, and I mean, he just makes everyone around him better at the receiver position, whether it's receiver, tight end, whatever. Like, this is, it's almost like a match made in heaven. And if not for, like, you have to keep Josh Allen happy with the guys around him. I mean, you see, like, Aaron Rodgers just lost Davante Adams, right? Like, will he be fine? He'll find other guys, I'm sure, to take his place, but not as good as Davante Adams, like one of the best wide receivers in the league. Like, I mentioned that tweet. Patrick Mahomes just lost Tyreek Hill. Like, does he have Travis Kelce? Sure. Is he going to elevate Juju Smith-Schuster? I'm sure. He'll do all these things. But will they be as good as Tyreek Hill? Like, maybe not. To me, this is the best case scenario. These are two players that you have to keep together, and that Bean found a way through signing Von Miller and keeping all the players that he did this offseason, keeping Ryan Bates, keeping Matt Milano last year, Tre'Davious White, Deion Dawkins, all these guys he's re-signed. He found a way to keep Stephon Diggs. And I think this might be one of the most important contract extensions that we've seen so far. Mike, I'll go to you next. What were your thoughts on the extension, and is there anything I missed?
I think you alluded to it, Nate, but he does come across as the heart and soul of the team. It's certainly the offense. We've seen him before games dancing, getting everybody else pumped up, and certainly his bond with Josh. So it's good to see him locked up for a while. Like, look forward to seeing them start together in the new stadium.
Is it possible that these guys are wearing gold jackets together at some point? Like, is this the next Jerry Rice, Joe Montana? I mean, that's kind of a high, lofty stature, but like Jim Kelly, Andre Reed, Stephon Diggs, right? I mean, those signs that people were making for election day last year, was it 2 years ago now? I don't remember, but like, you know, it was Allen Diggs 2020, right? Like that was a thing. And now it'll be 2024 and it'll go on from there. Like this is a really, like Mike mentioned, this is, Stephon Diggs belongs in Buffalo. Like, he is what he does on and off the field. When you watch him play, you're just like, it just works, right? Like, he's just, do you guys remember when you're saying that, Mike, dancing on and off the field and blah, 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 like there
Wait,
was
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, whatever you said. I didn't really listen half after the first half. What is it called? Active listening? I'm still working on. I'm just waiting for you to stop talking so I can say my point. You reminded me of, remember when Stephon Diggs caught that touchdown in New England? And he got the touchdown, he pointed at the crowd, he said, shut the bleep up, shut the bleep up, shut the bleep up to the Patriots fans in the end zone. Like, that's, he didn't have to do that. Like, that's his thoughts on, like, that's his competitive streak. Like, as a Bills fan, someone who hates Patriots fans, you're just like, yes, like, he's one of us. Like, he's not just a player. Like, he kind of helps embody, like, the fan base. Anyway, I'm getting on about that, but.
All right, so let me play devil's advocate, because don't get me wrong, I'm ecstatic. I love that Diggs is paired with Allen long-term, whole nine yards. Love it. Don't want to dispute that whatsoever.
But
you look at But you look at players like...
Anytime there's a but, we just discount everything you said.
No. I agree with you guys, but there's got to be a...
So let's just move on.
Point, right? Right?
No. I love the devil's advocate. Mike loves it. Mike, you do devil's advocate more than anyone else.
It's different.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Screw
that's
you.
That's different.
Right. Yeah, no. Yeah. Well, go on, John.
It's absolutely right. All right. So, yeah, like, look at Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, all these years where the Packers are like, no, we're not going to give the offense any help. We're going to do this or whatever. Like, and of course they do it again, right? Trading Davante Adams. You have another great team, Kansas City. Like, you know what? We're going to move on Tyreek Hill. We're going to, whatever. Same thing. Great team, great quarterback, same type of thinking. Pittsburgh. Look at Pittsburgh. I don't think they've ever had a losing season under Ben Roethlisberger, but they've moved on from receivers. They've worked on their defense, like this and that, same thing. So like it gets to the Bills and you see a comment from Whaley. And on one hand, it's like, ah, screw Whaley. You know, they're going to sign Diggs for sure now. But like on the other hand, it's like, well, you look at some of these other teams and maybe it's not smart to sign both a quarterback and a receiver long-term. And you spend some of that money elsewhere after you get the quarterback. Now, all that aside, I love what they did. So don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying there is another point of view that you could look at.
Yeah. But when has it gone the other way? It's like Peyton Manning. Oh, they kept Marvin Harrison around forever. Oh, it didn't work. Oh, Reggie Wayne. I don't know. Just
how didn't it work? You mean, cause didn't they win a Super Bowl together?
Yeah, one.
One. Oh, okay, gotcha. Because you didn't win multiple ones.
Wasn't that John's point?
Tom Brady never had a good wide receiver besides that one year he had Randy Moss, or a couple years maybe. He never won a Super Bowl with Randy Moss, though.
That's another good.
He only won Super Bowls without Randy Moss.
Right. I mean, he was cheating, so like that's different. But you know,
to John's point, at some point you have to realize that Josh Allen is good enough that he will elevate the play of everyone around him. So whether it's like a tier one receiver like Stephon Diggs, or maybe he takes like a guy that's a Gabriel Davis and makes him close to Stephon Diggs, or a fourth round pick? Like, that's pretty good. I know Stephon Diggs was like a seventh round pick or something, but.
And didn't Davis just break a playoff record for touchdowns? And yeah, I mean, and the year before against the Colts, all those toe taps and like he was the reason they won the game against the Colts.
Yeah.
Like this is, you know, I mean, Diggs and Davis combined, that'd be great for several years to come. Right.
By the way, you're making your point for drafting a wide receiver early. Like you're making a point against it. The more you talk about how great these wide receivers are for the Buffalo Bills. Well, we'll talk about that later.
Well, it's in my top two. I still think corner is the most, but like receiver, I think would be number two still.
Can I, let's talk about this right now because we're in the moment. I was going to wait till later. We reassessed our Bills draft needs, but let's talk about it now. Does this change this? Because I think it kind of does. Because if you have Stephon Diggs for the next 3 or 4 years, you have Gabriel Davis for the next 2 years. Those are your top two wide receivers. Jamison Crowder.
Well, give him four receivers to throw at. Like, come on.
McKenzie
and McCrowder are stopgaps. They need like, you know, a guy that can break, you know, go the distance on any given play.
So now you're talking slot receiver, or are you talking an outside receiver? Because they have Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs on the outside.
Yeah,
and they don't have a long-term slot guy. They just have a guy for this year.
Exactly.
So that's what you want.
Yeah.
Long-term slot receiver. Okay. So you've figured out a way that, like, I mean, I'd like a guy that could do both outside and inside, personally, but
okay. Yeah. Well, obviously, you want versatility. And come on, we put.
I mean, John only wants
speed
slot.
Too. Come on, speed.
I only want the slot react. Okay.
John wants a guy that's slow. I like a guy with speed. That's me.
I mean, look at Beasley and McKenzie. Right, they're both great slot guys. One's great in the zone. One's good against man. Okay. Well, can't you have both, or can't you have both and also do outside? Yeah. Obviously, you want to do everything.
Tough. Oh, you too.
Come on.
Okay, so John wants a guy that only does slot, that only is good against man or zone. He hasn't determined which one, and is fast. Maybe we're not really sure about the speed thing.
How about this? So after corner and receiver, What's the next biggest need? Punter, right?
The
third biggest need is punter.
Can I say that I'd like to right move now. Wide receiver down? And the reason why I say this is because in my head, needs go as far as what you would be comfortable with the Bills drafting in the first round. Like, obviously, quarterback's out of there. Like, that's just a given, right? You'd be pissed off if they drafted a quarterback. Like, what position? Like, if they drafted a wide receiver in the first round, like, what a waste of a season that could be. Like, he's not going to start. Like, and if he does...
He could? I don't know.
Who would he start over? I mean, the Bills have two studs at wide receiver. Like, it might be advantageous for them to draft one later where he can sit behind and, like... Either way, the guy's not going to start for two seasons if he's on outside receiver.
That's why the Bills are in such a good they're such a good team that not many players are going to start for them as a rookie. Like, they get 8 draft picks, right? They could use a draft capital and trade up if they wanted to.
They're not going to
keep all 8 guys that they draft.
So we're kind of in unprecedented territory. I mean, I feel like every year we kind of think that the Bills are good at most positions leading into the draft. I think this season is even more of an exception because, I mean, the Bills didn't lose a whole lot and they gained a whole lot this free agency. So the only position that I would say right now that just sticks out as a player, as a position of need is cornerback, right? But they have 8 draft picks and the odds of them keeping all 8 draft picks seems very unlikely, right? So is this a season then to trade up to lose a few draft picks, but maybe gain more, you know, move up this year in the draft or gain more picks next season, right? Let's say you trade away your second round pick this season. You pick your good cornerback in the first round. Second round comes. Maybe you don't like the guys. You trade it away for a second round pick next season and like another third this year. Or next year, like I'm kind of the opinion that maybe that this is the year to like not trade back, but like trade away picks for next season because they're gonna have some players leaving, players that they cannot afford, whether that's Tremaine Edmonds, Jordan Poyer, Ed Oliver, Dawson Knox. Like they won't be able to keep all 4 of those guys. Like that's just not gonna happen. So you need
to start.
I think
you're on the right track, but I don't think it's the right. I think. They could trade for more picks next year, but not with picks this year, but with players.
So there's been 2 names that have been coming up a lot over social media. 2 players that they think could be available for the Buffalo Bills to trade away. Now, John, which players do you think those are?
Well, it can't be Tremaine Edmonds because he's only like 20 years old.
Is Tremaine Edmonds even old enough to vote? I don't think he is yet. He's been in the league for 5 years or 4 years. Guy still hasn't had a drink yet. He's not old enough. Tremaine Edmonds is one of them. And Jordan Poyer is the other one. Now, this leads into the discussion now. By the way, before we end the Stephon Diggs conversation, I just love the fact that Doug Whaley was completely wrong. Everyone was dunking on Doug Whaley. I don't not like the guy. I just think it's funny that like he was completely wrong. And I feel like some of us were thinking over social media, it's like, well, this was just... I used the Will Smith slap meme for Doug Whaley and Doug Whaley being Chris Rock, Brandon Bean being Will Smith, of course. It was one of my more tasteful memes. As soon as the Bills extend Stephon Diggs this past week, there was news, big news, that Jordan Poyer finds a new agent. Now, Mike, why do you find a new agent in the NFL? Is it because you're very happy with your representation? Or do you think that you could do better? Without being devil's advocate, what do you think?
You think you could do better?
Yes, right?
Right, okay.
So does that mean that you're happy with your current contract or you want a better one? Bill's Jordan Poyer entering the final year of his contract, switches agents to Drew Rosenhaus. Drew Rosenhaus, I've never heard of him. Is he like a really good agent? Is he always representing the best of the best? Is he always getting them the best contracts? I don't know. John, are you familiar with Drew Rosenhaus?
He's a dick.
He's a dick. I wasn't going to say that. I just know he's a very good agent. Why is he a dick?
No, listen. Like, I'm all for resigning. Poyer and Mike Hyde, the best tandem in the entire league. They lose either one of those guys and they're screwed. They all of a sudden safety becomes one of their biggest needs.
Yep. And so real quick, Rachel Bush, who is the wife of Jordan Poyer, she's an Instagram model. She wrote on Twitter, Jordan's been taking team-friendly deals. He's an all-pro. He has 1 year left on his contract. Diggs had two. Did you complain about that as well? You want a Super Bowl? Do what it takes to get there this year. Need them all. And basically, so I was under the impression, at least it felt this way. I know this isn't the way it was. It felt like Jordan Poyer literally just re-signed with the Buffalo Bills last season. That is not the case. He re-signed two seasons ago. The person that re-signed last season was Micah Hyde. So we kind of get those two confused sometimes. At least I did with the contract extensions. So no sooner than Stephon Diggs gets re-signed, or extended rather, Jordan Poyer wants a new contract. Now all of a sudden he's using the same verbiage like, I want to retire in Buffalo, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, you can't use that. Like Stephon Diggs just did that. Like he's looking to retire in Buffalo. Like you can't use the same, you need a new tagline, right? Like you need a new quote. So it was a very Buffalo thing because it's like, man, we just can't enjoy this, right? We can't enjoy this Stephon Diggs extension. Now we have to worry about Jordan Poyer leaving the Buffalo Bills or whatever. And I guess the first question I'll ask you guys is, he's like the 15th or 16th highest paid safety in the league. Like he's not the top. And he was an all-pro this past season, which in my opinion, I think you guys would agree, is so much better than Pro Bowl. Like Pro Bowl is... it's nice, but like the real test of how good you are is all pro, first team or second team all pro. Would you guys agree with that?
Yes. Yes, I agree.
So it's a question. If this was you and you're 31 years old, or you're about to turn 31 this month, and you know that you only have like one big contract left, and you completely outperformed your last contract. Not completely. I wouldn't say that. He's making $10 million. It's not like he's not making top five money, right? So what I struggle with as a Bills fan, but also like a person that, you know, has a job and a salary and would like to think if I was completely outperforming those, that I would get a raise too. Do you think he's out of line for wanting this contract extension? Obviously, it's not great timing because the Bills have no money left in their cap space. They've basically restructured everyone they possibly could. And they've gotten rid of anyone that they possibly could while keeping, like, we don't have Harrison Phillips. We don't have Levi Wallace. You know, we re-signed a bunch of, Ryan Bates. We re-signed, got Roger Saffold. We signed OJ Howard. We signed Von Miller. Like, there's no space. Like, the fact that the Bills were able to extend Stephon Diggs is almost a miracle by Brandon Bean. Like, the way that he did it, the way that he's had to do it is crazy. Do you want to give this guy, is he in his own right for wanting this extension at this moment in time based on how he's performed? Mike, I'll start with you. Do you think that Poyer's being unreasonable?
No, I don't. He's one of the best in the league, right? Why not?
Mike or John, what do you think?
I agree with Mike.
Wow, thank you, John. Look, we'd all do the same thing. Like, it's... people throw around contract like it's written in blood or chiseled in stone. It's just not the way that the current NFL works. We know that the contract, like it doesn't fit our formal understanding of the word. Can we all agree on that? Exactly like what you said about your job. If you're outperforming, you want more money. And if you're not performing, they're going to cut you. And it's, what's the average time people spend in the league? Like 3.5 years? Like, your skills diminish rapidly and you want to set yourself up as best you can.
Like maybe, best time to, yeah.
Yeah. It's in an ideal world. Like everybody takes a little less because being part of a championship team, right, raises, if everybody's a boat on the ocean, like winning raises everybody. More endorsements, more, if you want to leave after you get your ring, like more money. But, of course, Allen, Diggs, everybody's getting paid, and I can't blame Poyer at all. I hope he sticks around, but can't blame the guy.
Yeah, I think I struggle with that as well because I want him to be on the team. But yeah, he deserves it. And this is his last chance to probably make a big splash of, like, you know, a 2-year deal that's worth a lot more, or maybe a 3-year deal. I don't know. But he did outperform it, as much as we all want this team to stay together because we know what they're capable of. I mean, he was first team all pro at safety, and he was good. He was one of the best players on the Buffalo Bills last season. So would I like him to stay for, you know, what he signed the contract for? Of course. But he knows, I mean, this is the time to do it. Because what happens if this season he gets injured? Or what happens if he doesn't have an all pro season this next season? I mean, this is the peak. It can only go down or stay the same from here, right? Like, it won't get any better than this last season for him. He has to capitalize on it. So I don't blame him at all. Do I want him to stay paying the $9.9 million or whatever he's owed this season? Absolutely. So, like, I struggle with this because, like, in my last job, I got this professional license. So, like, which is one of those things where, like, you have to take 2 tests and you have to study for months. Maybe if you're smarter, you only have to study for a few weeks. But, like, I had to study for months doing it. And after I was done, like, my employer was like, great, congratulations. Here's, like, a gift card and all this stuff, blah, blah, blah.
Where was it to? Pizza?
Wegmans. It was Wegmans. No, it was, like, a small bonus. And I say small because it wasn't like life-changing. Like, it was, I've never turned down a bonus. I don't think anyone would. But it wasn't like, hey, like, but the reality is that once I got my licensure in my profession, like, I'm worth more. Like, I'm just, this is all of a sudden, like, you know, this, like, you become, this is almost as high as I can go in my profession. So all of a sudden, like, companies are calling me wanting to offer me more money, you know? And of course, Jordan Poyer doesn't even have that luxury because he's tied into that team. It's contractual that he cannot even take offers from other teams, because if he was able to, he would make a lot more money.
Well, so, he could certainly force his way out. Like, we've seen that over and over again. Don't come to training camp and sit.
Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that would be very tough. Would you? So here's the thing. So people are talking about Tremaine Edmonds being a possible trade chip because of his uncertainty of the future with the Buffalo Bills, or Jordan Poyer being a trade chip, either for picks or maybe a player per player trade. I'll ask you guys, if you had to choose which one you would have to trade, you only get 1 year of each this next season, but you can only keep one right now in 2022. Who do you keep on the team? Because it's tough because you have Tremaine Edmonds is younger, but he's definitely not an all pro. But then you have Jordan Poyer, who's all pro, but he's also 31. Tremaine Edmonds is what, 16, right? So he's got so much time ahead of him in the league. So, John, I'll start off with you. You have to choose Jordan Poyer, Tremaine Edmonds, gun to your head. And I'm not even going to give you, like, the specifics of life.
Everyone's taking Poyer.
Would you?
Yeah.
Would you? What do you think's easier to find in the draft, a middle linebacker or a safety? That's also the decision you have to make, because that all of a sudden becomes your biggest need. Whatever you get rid of is now your biggest need or your second biggest need on the team. You just created a hole, unless all of a sudden it's a player for player trade and you get a middle linebacker for a safety or vice versa. But
Poyer is valued much, much more highly on the team and in the fan base. Now, maybe some of that is where slaved expectation of where Edmonds was drafted, but he hasn't lived up to expectation anywhere near like Poyer has.
I'm glad you said that, because there's a lot of Edmonds truthers out there. They're just like, he's really good, you guys just don't see it. Like, I don't think he's bad, but I don't think he's lived up to what you said, Mike, his expectations coming out of the draft was like, the guy's young, but he has all the tools in the world, kind of like Josh Allen, right? Like, he wasn't young like Tremaine Edmonds, but, like, he had all the tools in the world. He just needed to refine them. And Josh Allen has refined them. Like, Tremaine Edmonds is still finding his way in the league. So I would pick Jordan Poyer over Tremaine Edmonds in this case, but you only get him for like another year or so. But you could take that money, the $12 million that you were going to keep Tremaine Edmonds for, the new team takes, you know, a big chunk of that. And then you could take that money and extend Poyer for another year or so. John, would you do that, or would you take it the other way? Use that money that you would take by trading Poyer and save that for future Tremaine Edmonds contract extension.
So you're saying it could be Poyer for two seasons or Edmonds for how many seasons?
For at least one more season, possibly a contract extension after this. So no matter what, you're not going to keep Poyer for more than this year or next year probably, right? Like that's just by then he'll be 33. Like it's just unlikely, right? Not completely.
Well, if you extend him now, it could be 3 years. I don't know.
It could be 3 years altogether, maybe, potentially.
What would be the Edmonds contract?
Edmonds would probably be a 5-year contract. A lot of money guaranteed. Middle linebacker money is. I mean, he's on the fifth year option, and that's over $12 million. Poyer's only making 9.9 at this point, but if he makes
give me Poyer, and
for at least one more season, maybe two.
Yeah, make sure Hyde's with him. Like I mean that I mean just not to take any way of word, they're just like they're just so good together. Like I don't want to lose either one, right?
No.
Like I'd keep those two over Edmonds.
Okay.
Because Milano is better than Edmonds, right?
Yes. Oh yeah.
So they already have a better linebacker. So
yeah, they just need a middle linebacker. So yeah.
Not that Evans is bad, like you said. No. Like it's if I'm picking between these players, it's really hard because they're all so good. Like you mentioned before free agency, this would have been so much easier. It's like, yeah, they're just gonna keep everybody. before 1994.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll just keep everybody. It's fine.
Yeah,
they just won the Super Bowl or went to the conference championship, whatever.
So. I know. That's how you build dynasties. You just keep them. So the only thing I'll say that I agree with you guys, I'd rather take Poyer, obviously, over Edmonds. And I think the rest of the league would value Edmonds more than we necessarily would because of how high he was drafted, because of his athletic abilities. But
And
he's so young. He's like 12. So it was like, I will say, though, the argument for trading Poyer is his age, and there's the official backup of the Circling the Wagons podcast is behind him, and Jaquan Johnson, which to me, I know he's not as good as Poyer, but man, I like Jaquan Johnson a lot. And this is his last season with the Buffalo Bills coming up. I think that the drop off between Edmonds and the next linebacker right at this point, without having drafted anyone, is much bigger from Edmonds to Tyrell Dodson or whoever it ends up being than it would be from Poyer to Jaquan Johnson. That's my opinion. But I still would rather trade Edmonds, depending on what you get. Okay, here's a question. So you guys both want Poyer over Edmonds. What happens if you can get a second rounder for Poyer, but only like a fifth rounder for Edmonds? Do you still make that trade? Because you still lose money. You still lose like the caps, or you still gain cap space, I should say. But like that's a big enough dip, right? Like if it's second round pick for second round pick, you choose Poyer to keep. But what if you get a second round pick for Poyer and you only get like a fifth round for Edmonds?
We're keeping Poyer.
Okay.
Yeah, like you're talking like this trade wouldn't be made this year, right? Like,
yeah, it's before the draft, like the night of the draft or before that.
Why though? They're both under contract. You don't have to do anything with either of them.
You don't have to do anything with
either of them. I don't think Poyer is sitting out.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think either one of those players would hold out.
I think Poyer would definitely hold out.
I agree with John. I say no.
You don't think Poyer holds out at all?
No.
What? Did you not just hear the Rachel Bush tweet? Like, he thinks he deserves... He got a new agent. He didn't get a new agent.
This isn't Jada Smith. This is a whole different scenario, Nate.
Basically, this is like the Twitter version, Instagram version of Jada Smith. Like, she's... He just got a new agent. He is not walking out without a new contract. Like that's the whole point of getting Drew Rosenhaus, is so that he's either going to get traded or he's going to get a contract extension with the Buffalo Bills. There's no staying with it. He's going to sit out as long as he possibly can. You really don't think he will?
No.
Then what did Drew Rosenhaus do if he doesn't get traded or get a contract extension with the Bills? Because if he gets traded, it'll be with the contract extension for whatever. But like, with the new team, but I think he would absolutely sit out. Let's see how much
you said. This is his last year, you said, right?
This is his last year on his contract, correct?
Yeah, so it's to negotiate his deal next year, whether it's to stay with Buffalo or to move on in free agency.
Well, according to the tweet I read from Miss Bush, Mrs. Bush, Miss Bush. Well, she doesn't have the same last name, so I don't know how that works. But he is dead cap. What's his dead cap? $4.1 million if he gets released outright. So maybe they're hoping that he gets released outright. So they pay him the 4.1 and somebody else signs him. Of course, everyone's mostly spent their money by now. So now's not the good time for them to cut him. But
why would they cut him?
Because if he just decides he's going to hold out.
Why would he hold out? They're going to win the Super Bowl. He loves playing for the Bills. They're all friends.
That's the whole point. Exactly. I don't get it.
Well, why did he get a new agent? It's because he wants a new contract. And if he doesn't get the new contract, he's going to do everything he can, like legally, to make sure that he does, right?
I think like, it's you don't, it, you maybe he worries about it next year.
He would have just waited till next year. You think he's just doing that preemptively?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to hold on to your dead weight agent that hasn't done that great for you all the way up until the last minute for your last contract. You want a year in advance with the new guy, right?
Or you're not happy with the current agent because he wasn't able to get you a contract extension like you wanted, so you fired him hoping that this new agent, this power agent, this Jerry Maguire of an agent is going to get you – he's going to show me the money, right? He's going to show you the money. He's going to get you a new contract, or he's going to find somebody that will. I think that that's what's happened. I don't think he's thinking a year in advance. I think he's thinking, I just became an all-pro, and I'm making the same amount of money that I made last season, and my stock has never been higher, and I don't know if it will ever go higher than this.
All right, let's bet on it. You think he's sitting out. John and I don't.
I think he sits out parts of at least part of training camp for sure. If he doesn't get a new contract extension, mm-hmm. You don't think that?
No way. No way.
If he sits out one day.
One day?
Oh, well, it's what's the difference?
We're not going to count the voluntary. We're not going to count voluntary.
No, okay,
everyone.
Okay. Everyone. No. He's going to get his point across then. I think if he doesn't get a new contract extension with the Bills, which I don't think he will, I think he sits out over under 2 days training camp.
Well, like, who cares? He's not going to miss game time or anything.
Oh, so you do think he'll sit out training camp?
If I was Stephon Diggs or Josh Allen, I would sit out training camp because I don't want to get hurt. Like, I'm really good. Why, like, it doesn't matter to me till it's the first game of the season, personally.
So you're kind of flip-flopping there. So
no, you're like, he's gone if he doesn't get a new contract. Where I'm like, I don't think. When we get into the nitty gritty of the training camp, I don't know. Like, oh, is this 2 days and he's in a funeral in Costa Rica? Like, I don't know the details, but I don't think he's gonna sit down on his teammates when the games start and it matters.
Oh, he'll be there for the games.
Will be playing for the Bills week one. Bearing injury.
I concur with that.
Well, being week one, I don't disagree with that. But
what are
we
talking about?
He's going to sit out. I think he's going to force their hand. I never said that he wouldn't play. I just said that he's going to do something. He's going to do everything he can to either get traded or to get extended. But he'll play week one if he has to. I mean, I think they always do, don't they? I think Le'Veon Bell is the only one that didn't do that I remember in recent history. And then he got let go.
It's rare. Players sit out games.
I think he sits out training camp. You guys were like, he'll definitely be there for training camp.
We think he'll be there playing for the Bills. That's all we're saying.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to have to re-listen to this podcast because I could have sworn you guys are like, he's not going to miss a day at training camp. He'll be there. He'll absolutely be there. So, okay.
I got to tell you what, either way, I'm a lot more sad now than I was when this podcast started.
That was the whole point of this conversation. So, but maybe they'll trade him away and get something for him if that's the case. I mean, you can't keep everyone. That's just the reality of the situation. And there's going to be guys like this that just aren't.
No, of course. Get rid of the punter, whoever.
You can't set a precedent, though, by whenever a guy does this. Okay, well, he automatically gets a raise like every single time, you know? Now, Stephon Diggs was grossly underpaid even when he got here. So he stuck with it. He kept his head down. He worked hard. He deserved that contract extension. He deserved to be like paid as one of the highest wide receivers in the league.
So you don't think Poirier deserves to be paid one of the highest safeties in the league?
I think he does, but I mean, there's just no money. I would love to extend the guy's like Poyer that deserved to after a good year. But they were paying him when he wasn't an All-Pro. So, I don't know. At some point, you have to get your new agent and then sit out training camp and come in for week one, which is what he's going to do. So, I don't know. That's all my thoughts on this. There wasn't a whole lot for that. But I could definitely see the Bills moving up in the draft, like John said, or trading picks for this year for next year. That's what I see happening. John, you only see moving up. You don't see looking for next season. Because right now, they have eight draft picks, and I don't think that they're going to have spots for all eight players. I mean, if you look,
I definitely agree with that. I could see them trading up in this draft, not necessarily the first round, but maybe second or third round for a player that they'd like. Mm-hmm. As far as next year is concerned, I don't know if they're going to, like, I could see maybe a player for picks or something, but I don't know if they're going to, I don't know, maybe. I don't know. They could do whatever. It's
like, what if they traded like a third round pick this year for like another fourth this year and then like a third next year? You know, like I could see them doing something like that. Where,
I mean, yeah, they would still keep
the same amount of picks roughly, or maybe they lose one, but they like get, you know, they get one next
year. Two thirds next year. Yeah. I mean, that'd be okay depending on how the first couple of rounds went, I guess.
If there's never been a season that I can recall where they just had so few holes, and sure they can get depth, but they have so much depth too at most positions. Like the first two or three rounds for sure. Like you have to keep those positions. You have to keep those picks. Like you can't lose those necessarily. So like, you know, the scenario I gave, maybe a third round pick, maybe you trade down or trade up or whatever. So you have one less third round pick or whatever. But yeah,
yeah, it really depends too. And it's not all it's position specific. It could be BPA depending on who's available. Like if all their corners that they thought were first round worthy are gone, then maybe they go with a running back. Who knows, right?
Maybe they trade down. Well, could you see them trading down? Like if the cornerbacks that they like aren't there, and like none of the positions of need that they really like aren't there, could you see them like trading away a first round pick, like taking another first rounder next year? And then just having their second round pick be their first pick, right? Or maybe they trade. There's a team that drafted in the top 10, wants to get back in the bottom of the first round. You take their second round pick, right? So now you have a high second round pick and your own second round pick, and then a first next year. Like that's a possibility. That's a trade scenario that could absolutely happen, you know, especially if it's a team that's not that good, is trading in the top 10 or drafting in the top 10. They might be drafting in the top 10 next season. Now, Bean has only traded it down once, and that was last year. But I could see him thinking in that sort of scenario if what's there and he doesn't like the players that are available, specifically cornerback. Or maybe they package Poyer or Edmonds into this and get another first or second next year, possibly.
Yeah, it all depends. And you got to find a trade partner, right? So, I mean, if they can't, then they just take the best player available. That could be any position. Mm-hmm. Probably not quarterback or kicker, but.
So, Mike, do you see any of those scenarios happen? I know John and I were kind of discussing them this season. Or the first round, second round, third round, day one, day two, day three picks. It's more fun to talk about those day one and day two picks rather than like, oh, they might move up in the seventh round. Like, no, who gives a crap, right? Like, no one cares about that. But this season, their roster, I mean, we have it pulled up. Like, Sal Capaccio does a great job of like showing all the positions and the depth and everything like that. I mean, just like a defensive end, like how would they even draft a guy and have him in the first round and have him even vying for a position unless they got rid of AJ Epenesa or something like that. Like no guy's going to even have a crack in the starting lineup or get significant snaps. Maybe running back. I could see running back happening, by the way. John, what do you think about that, John? Running back in the first round. A lot of talk about that this season.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, if a position of need is not there when they pick for as far as value, then yeah, why not? Why not pick up one of the best players available? And if that's not a running back, then, you know, that could be it.
Singletary is on the last year of his contract. So he's another player that could potentially be a free agent next season. And you know that they most likely won't re-sign him. They might. Maybe, you know, so that is a player I could see happening. You say wide receiver. I could see if it was a special wide receiver. But even so, I don't know if they're getting playing time over Jameson Crowder in the slot or Stephon Diggs or Gabriel Davis on the outside. Tight end, probably not getting a lot of time. Offensive line, again, they have their five starters and they have some decent depth. They actually don't have a ton of depth on their offensive line. I will say that. They will draft at least one guard slash center this draft as depth. Cornerback, we mentioned that's a huge need, especially if Tre'Davious White isn't ready. Defensive tackle, they have, four guys that could be starters at any given moment. Safety is a need if Poyer gets... Linebacker, I still think is a big need. I don't know how much I trust Tyrell Dodson behind Tremaine Edmonds. I don't trust Tyler Matakevich or Andre Smith or Joe Giles-Harris. So I think cornerback and linebacker and offensive line are the three biggest needs. And punter, like you said. So if the draft came down, first round pick, the Bills pick any of those positions, John, cornerback, linebacker. We're not going to say punter for the first round because it's cornerback, linebacker, wide receiver potentially, or offensive line. What do you think? You're good with all of those, right?
Yes. Yeah. I'd be okay with any of those. Sure. Or even running back, like you mentioned. Any of those. In wow. Bean, I trust.
All right. So we are going to have on Buffalo Rumblings draft writer Griff from the site. We usually have him and Dan Lavoie on every year at this time. And Dan just had a baby in the last few months. So congratulations to Dan. So he's very busy, obviously. And so he won't be coming on this year. Hopefully we can have him on next season. But Griff is always very insightful. He has a lot of thoughts on the players. He's working on articles right now for the draft. He's already had some in the past month or so in regards to players that you know, he scouted and looked at. So that's going to be a fun discussion. I'm going to ask him a lot of the questions that we ran over in this episode for that. Biggest needs, guys that he likes in the first, second, third round. We'll probably do a mock draft together, which will be fun. So I can pick his brain and his thought process. And then hopefully afterwards, we can get a review from him. How do you think the Bills did? What did you like? What didn't you like? I remember last season, he brought up something kind of interesting. He said he kind of wished that they didn't draft Boogie Basham, maybe drafted Cree Humphrey with that second round pick. So we'll see. We'll see if that ended up helping the Buffalo Bills or not. But yeah, so John, real quick, you brought up something really cool on Twitter. There was a Josh Allen card that sold for $312,000. Now, you're our local card expert. I know you're not an expert in all card, everything having to do with cards, but you own more than anyone I know. You still get them. You still hold on to them. What makes this card special? Because not all Josh Allen rookie cards are worth anywhere, even within this realm of $312,000. $1,000 that's bought in an auction. Like what made this one special?
Well, first of all, I'm by no means an expert at anything, but
humility.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. No, not really.
Just you guys stop. What if he was like overzealous or egotistical about being humble? Oh yeah, there's no one more humble than me. Like you guys, I'm the most humble person I've ever met.
No, but I mean, like for this card in particular, I think it was, you know, PSA graded cards.
What does 10, that mean? PSA right? rated.
You can send it off to different companies and they'll put it on a slab and say, oh, this is a mint 10 perfect condition versus, you know, it's a scale of like 0 to 10 or whatever.
And 10 is like it's in pristine condition, like you kept it under like the right lighting, like there's no soft corners, right?
Right. And from what I understand, this one was like a 10, dual 10. So it was 10 for the card and 10 for the autograph itself. So it's a clean autograph and all that. And there was also a jersey patch on the card, and the card is like a 1 of 10 card. And it looked really pretty. So like all those things combined, you know,
So you're going to be sad to see it go.
Listen, if I owned that, I would just keep it. I wouldn't.
Would you keep it?
I would.
You wouldn't sell it if you could make $300,000 off of it?
It would be in a safe where nobody could ever look at it.
That's a tough thing, man. Are you
thinking? Now, if it was like a different team's player, like a Joe Montana or something, like, oh yeah, I can part with this.
It's interesting though what you just said. Like, you'd lock it away so nobody could look at it, and you'd never sell it. So realistically, your position currently is the same as if you owned that card, except your current position, you don't have to worry. You have no like attachment to it. You're freer by not owning it.
Yeah, but I still would like to have it.
You are a materialistic bastard.
John's like, I would still like to get it out each night and like open the safe up. Caress it. But not actually touch it, just like air caress it. Like, you'd be like Gollum in Lord of the Rings, like, my precious.
I would take a picture of it and print it out and then caress the picture.
Yeah. Well, you could do that now.
It's not the same.
He doesn't actually own it.
So but it actually is quite right? Like, you collect cards. You had a front row seat to the Josh Allen draft experiment resurgence. How many Josh Allen rookies did you pull the trigger on?
So, like, growing up, I collected cards. Not so much at a later age. Like, once in a while.
So you have rookie cards of the last 20 Buffalo Bills quarterback busts. Basically, everybody between Jim no, Kelly I and do Josh
Allen. I'm pretty sure I do have a Josh Allen rookie card. Like, mm-hmm. a standard, like, basic score Josh Allen card. But it's
50 cents.
I can't imagine it's worth that much. Mm.
The one that's been mass produced and there's 90,000 in circulation.
Sure. Yeah. I opened up a pack of cards. Oh, Josh, I'm a rookie. This is awesome. But it's not the same.
Like, did this person?
Well, we could cut up a Josh Allen jersey and just stick a piece on there.
Yeah. With like what, Elmer's?
It's kind of similar. It's just interesting that it has value because we ascribe value to it, like anything. But
like art,
it's like whatever you're willing to pay for, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't be willing to pay $300,000 for it. It'd be nice to have open a pack of cards and have it, but I mean, geez,
is that person dumb for selling it now? Like, wouldn't it be worth so much more in a few years? Like, it's only going to go up in price, right? Like.
Well, you never
know. It's going to be worth more.
I don't know about that. I mean, like, the other part, like, from my experience, like, growing up in the late 80s, early 90s, all those cards are pretty much worthless because they were much more mass-produced than other cards of, you know, previous eras. And then, like, newer eras, they have, like, they have parallels and inserts and autographs and different things. So to kind of keep, you know, the market up on those types of cards, but like the late 80s, early 90s are like the worst era for cards. So like, I always think about that and it's like, well, I mean, they were awesome to have and just nostalgia and this and that, but like, they were never worth it, anything.
Did you ever get a card that had a jersey as part of it? Like, did the person make that? Or is that literally like, it's part, like, that's, how does that
did
even
the person
part of a card?
Make it?
Like, how do you,
on,
it's not a
probably
card.
Not the, come on.
It's not
probably
a card.
Not the player, probably, but.
It's not a card, though.
The guy like, got it out of a pack. I'm like, why don't I stick a piece of cloth to this?
There's like a little hole.
300,000.
Like, how do you, how is that even like in a card pack? Like, how does that, well, you literally just buy.
Some,
buy,
like, it's not the tops or the score or the base sets, right? Those are just. Again, mass produced, but there's certain more expensive sets where a pack might cost $50, but you're guaranteed to get one jersey card or one autograph in that. But odds are it's one of the 700. Not
it's like an EJ manual,
right? but that company, the packs are more expensive because they are keeping the number of the cards lower. They're not as mass produced, but then they're also buying the jerseys, they're buying the players' time to sign them, you're paying the endorsement.
I never bought a pack like that. Have you guys ever bought packs like that?
No.
No.
But Mike, you know so much about it. Like, I had no idea that there were like specialty packs. Like, I just bought the packs growing up, like ProSat.
Well, as John kind of alluded to, like, it's come a long way because the companies were like recognized, like, hey, this is just a race to the bottom. You can't make 100,000 Josh Allen rookie cards because no one's going to care. They're worth nothing. Mm-hmm. So you have to have some select sets, right? Mm-hmm. But what's interesting now is like with technology, like you could purchase, they do like live, is it called pack breaks, John? Do you know anything about this? Or box breaks? So like someone will buy a box of, is the NFL like Panini? Do they have the license for the elite stuff? So basically somebody online will buy a box of Panini football cards. Maybe that's like one autograph per pack or one jersey per box, whatever the ratio is. So like they will open it on a live stream, could be on YouTube, could be on Zoom, whatever. Like, so you'll see their hands opening the box and then opening the packs, and you can buy into that box and say like, hey, I will pay $50 for any Buffalo Bills cards that come out. Or, hey, I'm a Raiders fan, I will buy, and you know the contents of the set. So if like, oh, there's a Josh Allen rookie card, maybe the to buy into the Bills slot is five times more because that's the most valuable. So it's interesting, like the mechanism by which you could do some of this stuff.
And then on top of that, you could send your cards off to be graded by these different companies, like PSA is a big one, or Beckett or whoever. And they give it back to you and say, oh, this is a gem mint 10, and that drives the value up even more. They do this with video games now too. You can buy Mario Brothers from the Nintendo Entertainment System, and oh, this is $35,000 because it's graded at 10, it's never been opened, and like all this other stuff. It's like ridiculous.
What's funny is like the cost that it, like, you have to like package it up perfectly, insure it. And then the cost to actually get it great. Like, if you have a Mickey Mantle rookie card, yeah, of course. But if it's just, it's $30 to get created. Well, what the
hell? Nathan Peterman rookie card? Like, how many of those did you have to go through to, like, actually get a Josh Allen signed with the little, like, jersey patch associated with it? For every Josh Allen, there's, like, 100 Kyle Ortons, right?
They probably wouldn't have overlapped, but,
yeah. Yeah. So, Mike, should now be the time that we talk about the NFT thing that we got, John? We never brought that up during the season. You want to do it next week or next the week, week after? Okay, we'll figure it out after the. So, cool. Cool. That'll be a fun discussion.
I want to see John's baseball or football card collection, too.
I know. Me, too. John, you'll have to let us know next time we talk. What is your biggest, what's your best football card that you have available? And did you send, wait, real quick. Did you send any to get minted or anything like that, or whatever you call it, to get appraised by Beckett? Have you ever done that?
No, I do have some from PSA that I've bought from other people. But I don't think at the time of purchase it's ever been more than like $100 for anything at the absolute most.
So you paid $100 or it's worth $100 now?
Worth slash paid. I think I paid almost $100 once. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Can you tell us what card that was?
It's not your first one. No, I'm trying to remember if it was.
Let's guess.
Yeah, why don't you guys think about it and guess, and we'll leave that as a teaser for next week, and I'll
is it a Bills player?
Yeah. Well, why would I buy a non Bills?
I like Brett Favre, and he wasn't a Bills player. Okay, I think I have an idea. I think I know who it is. Wait, when we interviewed Bruce Smith, did you have him sign a card? I think
yeah,
you did.
It wasn't, yes, but it wasn't like a graded card, so, and it hasn't been graded since. So, like, those are always going to be worth more.
How much could you sell that one for? Is that the one you paid $100 for? The Bruce Smith one?
No, it was like a 50-cent card.
You didn't give us any heads up, Nate. We could have bought some rookie cards, got them signed, and we sent them in to get them graded. That's the process.
I told you there's a possibility we might be able to interview Bruce Smith.
And we could have showed up with 100 cards.
He's like, well, actually, I wasn't planning to. It's okay. I got you a tear at a table right over there. It's just it's a marker. Take your time. Make sure it's perfect so that I can send it off to get PSA
approved. It was funny because you texted us that, and I didn't think about it because it was like 10 minutes before I left my house to go meet you guys. So I got to find something to sign for Bruce Smith.
I thought I gave you more of a heads up than that.
You might have, but maybe, I don't know. But either way, it's like 10 minutes before I left. And I'm like looking through, and I'm like, I wasn't necessarily trying to find the one that would be worth the most, but the coolest looking one. So I there was a 1990 score. I think he had two cards in this 1990 score set, or 89 or 90 score set, one of those two. And I was like, this one looks cool. We're going to go with that one.
You should have gone with the one that makes the most money, right? Like that they could sell for the most, right?
I don't know.
Do you have a rookie card? Do you have a Bruce Smith rookie card? That would have been the one to get signed.
I do, but it's in a slab, so I wouldn't have broken the slab to do that. I don't know if I...
That's what the $100 one was, by the way, Mike. That was the $100 one. That was Bruce Smith.
No, that wasn't the one.
Did you get it put on a slab, or you bought it on a slab?
I bought it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't... At the time that I bought it, it wasn't that much.
So when it's on a slab, is it literally like... Like pasted to it, like
no, it's like you know you get like
like they just like leather glue all over the back.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, you can't see the back of it. I'm trying to figure.
No,
out.
You like you know you get card holders, yeah. Right? Like they're like plastic whatever's sleeves, uh-huh. But they're like more harder plastic.
Oh, okay.
It's like that, except they have like the information on the top of it. You know, it says like who graded it, what like the grade is, what the
like, slab of quartz. No. Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, I was just joking.
I mean, it is cool, awesome. Like how it standardized everything, right? So if you wanted to buy something on eBay, like in theory, they're all equivalent. All the Bruce Smith rookie Topps rookie, all the tens are interchangeable. All the nines interchangeable. All the eights interchangeable. Like when we were growing up, like you wanted to buy a card, like. You don't like, oh, did this go in? Was this in somebody's bike spokes or was this pulled out of the pack and put under glass? Like, so it clearly is fulfilling.
Well, I think you can tell if it was in their bike spokes. But yes, you're right. Yeah. I mean, if you want to get something this great, it's like, oh, I can't afford a 10, I'll just get a 7 or whatever. It's fine. And a 7 looks fucking awesome most of the time, right?
Yeah, like, that's how it is my dating life, Greg. I mean, my wife's a 10, obviously, but like, you know, before that, it's like, I mean, a 10 would be great, but a 7, it looks just as good, right? I mean, sometimes a 3, if it hasn't been in the spokes too long, wasn't too weathered. Anyway, on that note, this episode is brought to you by we have our TeePublic store. I keep forgetting to mention that. Our TeePublic store, teepublic.com/stores/CTWpod, like Circling the Wagons pod. We have a ton of Bills shirts on there. We are luckily one of the best stores on there for not only just Bills stuff, for stores or designs in general. I believe we have over 70 at this point Bills designs, and there's going to be a sale on Wednesday. Starting Wednesday, there's going to be a sale, 35% off by $13 t-shirts. You can't buy Bills t-shirts anywhere else for $13. teepublic.com/stores/CTWpod. Get our Von Miller Time t-shirt. Is one of the coolest designs we have. Nick, our design guy, did an amazing job with it. It is super cool. I'm getting one myself on that date. So, yeah, so check that out. So thank you guys all for listening. Thank you to John and Mike for talking not only the Stephon Diggs extension, but the potential Jordan Poyer rumors. Let us know what you think. Shoot us an email or tweet or DM or Facebook message, Instagram message. Let us know what you think. Does Jordan Poyer stay on the Buffalo Bills? Does he sit training camp? Does he sit all the way up to week one, which I think is a likely scenario? Does he get traded? Let us know what you think on over social media. We talked about moving up or moving back in the draft. We talked about the Josh Allen card selling for $312,000. It is super cool. I'll have to post that on our social media accounts just in case you guys haven't seen that already. But yeah, thank you guys all for listening. We're looking forward to talking more draft stuff next week with Griff from BuffaloRumblings.com. Super cool, super insightful guy. And obviously the Bill slant is great. It's always great. I talked with Chris Trapasso, talked with Justin M. from the Draft Wire. Like, it's always cool to talk to people in general about the draft, but it's always really good to talk about people that are specifically looking for Buffalo Bills potential draft prospects. So thank you guys all for listening. Signing off for John.
Hey, go Bills, extend Poyer. Let's go win a Super Bowl.
For Mike.
Agree with John. Nate, you're an alarmist. Poyer will be here. We're fine. Go Bills!
And for me, Nate, I'm alarmed that I was called an alarmist. I don't really know what that means. But no. I think Poyer stays with the team. He's just going to want some more money. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But super high, super excited about Stephon Diggs' extension. It's a great time to be a Bills fan. Go Bills, and we'll talk to you guys again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, Nate.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.